Be kind to your mind and smart with your heart. If you want a good day, that's a great way to start. We're all in this together, so let's all do our part. We know it takes a village to raise superstars. If you're here, then you're ready. I know that you are. And we're all gonna do it with kind minds and smart hearts.
Welcome to the Kind Minds Smart Hearts podcast, where we are building our very own mom village because no one else is doing it for us. I am so excited to have my friend Erin here on the podcast tonight. Her name is Erin Finnegan. She's from the Badass Moms Club, and she is a new friend of mine, but I love how inclusive she has been since I've met her. From the very beginning, she asked me to submit a video for a clink clink introduce yourself kind of no mom shaming thing, and I loved it so much. Her motto is raising the vibe while raising the tribe, so you can see that she's a perfect fit for the village, and she's all about mom empowerment and support, and we definitely need as much of that as we can get right now. She has an adorable son, a great merch shop, and a seemingly infinite supply of mom hacks. So this is all wonderful, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. That's such a nice introduction. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I wish I'll have more next time you come on. I'll just have like a whole new paragraph of things to add, I'm sure.
No, that's so nice.
Well, tell us a little bit about your life. I know you're in Hawaii. Where are you in Hawaii? What do you do? Tell me about what's going on over there.
Yeah. So my son and I live on one of the outer islands. We live on Kauai. I've lived here for, it'll be 12 years at the end of this year. And I am a business and empowerment coach, and I'm also a bartender at the oldest bar in the islands, which is really, really cool. Yeah, I've worked at this place for 7 years. It's actually the longest I've worked anywhere. And what brought me here was I used to work in the hotel industry. I was a manager in hotels for a number of years, and I took a job transfer out here back in 2010. And I worked in the resorts for a couple of years and decided at one point I didn't want to work in corporate America anymore, and kind of got back to my roots of slinging drinks, but also knew I wanted to be coaching people at the same time from all the things that I had learned. So I have been coaching entrepreneurs for a number of years, and then this last year was inspired to start Badass Moms Club and have started coaching moms as well.
That's awesome. So, okay. First of all, do you have a signature drink, a signature cocktail?
We do. We are known for our Mai Tai.
Oh, nice.
And people do say it's the best on the island.
Well, I could not tell you what was in a Mai Tai if you asked me. It's pineapple-y, maybe?
We actually won't tell anybody what's in our Mai Tai, except for that it has light rum and dark rum. We don't even have the recipe written down anywhere. We pass it verbally, bartender to bartender, because it's that good. Yeah, it's really cool. We keep it really close to the heart, and we tell people what makes ours different is it's the love that goes into it, or the aloha. So
I love it.
It is. It's really different than everybody's, and I don't know why, because to me it's seems that other people could be making it the way that we do, but there is just something so special and balanced about our Mai Tai. So people literally will get off the plane and come straight to the Nui to have the Mai Tai, and we're more than an hour from the airport.
Oh my goodness. Well, yeah. Okay. Hawaii, like I told you in the DMs, I told you Hawaii is one of my places I need to go visit. And so Mai Tai on the list, got to check it off.
Tahiti Nui. Yeah.
Okay. I'll probably send you a message when the time.
Oh, you better.
All right. Okay. So you're an empowerment coach. How did you get started doing that? What does it look like? Tell me about that.
So, I've been doing the business and empowerment coaching together with the entrepreneurs since that I had left the corporate world. I was coming to the end of my career, with the hotels. I was sitting in a seminar listening to an empowerment leadership coach. And I had this kind of awakening of this is what I want to be doing with my life. And had several just epiphanies about different styles of personalities and leadership and all kinds of things in the course of that. And it was actually in that seminar that I decided I was resigning from my job. And you know, it was a great company that I worked for, but there was just, I was having a lot of trouble having forward movement, and it wasn't roadblocks I was putting in front of myself. I kept trying really hard to work through whatever issues there were, but the people that I was working with couldn't do the work themselves. And so I decided that I wanted to work with people who want to do work to better themselves in whatever their businesses are, whether it's their own business or if they work in a bigger company. So initially, I'll be very honest with you, I didn't really know where to start. I knew it's what I wanted to do, but it's really hard to just kind of put yourself out there. And this was back in 2015, I guess, or 2013, sorry. So almost 10 years ago that I decided I was going to do this. And I had a couple people kind of shake my confidence in doing it. They were a little bit older than me. One person was a coach, and he said something to me about, you should really lose some weight if you want people to take you seriously. And that really kind of shook me, because then I felt like, oh my gosh, is this really true? Like, people won't take me seriously. But for years, people had been coming to me for advice on an array of things. But I still let it get to me for a while. And I had a hard time kind of putting myself out to the community, because it is a very small community. Everybody kind of knows each other. And then another person had said to me, you're a life coach. What do you know about life? You're like 25. And I wasn't. I was 10 years older than that. And I looked a lot younger then. I mean, that's almost 10 years ago and stuff. And I was like, well, no, I guess 34 or something like that. And I was like, I know that I'm not as old as you are, but I do have life experience. You know, I've worked in corporate America for X amount of years and all this stuff. And I was at a place where I felt like I had to do a lot of explaining of myself. And so I kind of took a very slow roll out of taking clients on. And I just kind of worked in the restaurants bartending more than I wanted to, and more full-time than part-time. Mm-hmm. And so now I do it part-time, which is a great kind of transition into eventually not being in the restaurants. And what shifted for me was becoming a mom. And so shortly after I had my son, I think it was about 2 or 3 months after, I sought out my own coach and talked to her about some work I wanted to do with myself and identifying my own emotions about things better. I recognized kind of early on there were some cycles that I wanted to break, and I wasn't sure how to do that. I have since then learned so much more about what cycles I wanted to break, and generational healing, things I wasn't even aware of. But it started then. And so in my first session with this woman, her name is Cora, at the end of it, she didn't know anything about my desire to really be a coach, but she said to me, have you ever thought about being a coach yourself? And I was like, and I started crying, and I was like, that's all I want to do, you know, is coach people and stuff. And so she's like, I see it and I feel it, you know, like that is what you're supposed to do. So we started working together, and about 6 months into it, she said, okay, it's time for you to get certified, and I can certify you. And she's certified through a certain school. And so then I did one-on-one training with her for 6 months and became certified. And through that time, I was really officially taking clients on and rebranding myself, so that when people I met for the first time, I wasn't introducing myself as I bartend at Tahiti Nui. I was introducing myself as I'm a coach and empowering myself. You know, the things that I helped people do basically my whole life. Like in high school, when you go through the yearbook, I was like best listener in the class, you know, like when they do the voting and all those things. And so I was really kind of like stepping into what I had been called to do and giving myself my own confidence. And so I think that's partly what makes me strong at how I coach people, because I've experienced what you need to do to empower yourself. And so I'm not just preaching. I'm telling people from my own experience and able to empathize with people and the, what they're going through.
I was going to say, first of all, I love Cora. Thank goodness for Cora. It takes one positive person to like change the way you think about yourself and just mm-hmm. way you think about your life. So that's amazing. And secondly, just listening to you tell that story reminds me a lot of kind of when I started my whole, I mean, I'm not coaching. And mm-hmm. the reason I'm not coaching is because I got started and I was unsure of myself and very like uneasy about it. And nobody said you can't do this. And there's, I mean, there are parent coaching certification programs, but it's not necessary. Right. And I feel like I have enough training that I could at least help some people to begin with. I just felt I just didn't have the confidence. So I really identify with that. And listening to you talk about it, I was like, maybe I need to get back on the horse, you know? So you are empowering me just by sharing your experience. So I'm sure that somebody listening is having the same experience. So thank you for sharing.
You know, absolutely. And I think one of the biggest things to remember is the people who are the naysayers, they're not the ones paying your bills. Mm-hmm. And all we need to surround ourselves with are the cheerleaders. And, you know, there's people who are in my life that don't understand what I'm doing with Badass Moms Club. And that's mm-hmm. okay, because it's not for them to understand. It's for me to understand. And it's for the people who are aligned with it to understand, and the people who are called to understand it, you know? So that's what we have to follow and kind of squash down the negativity and elevate our own selves. So that's kind of how I got into the empowerment coaching. I never intended to start taking on mom clients, but what happened through coaching was I was mostly, to be very honest with you, up until this week, I've only worked with women. I just had my first coaching session with a man, and that was a new and great experience. And he still mm-hmm. wants, and he actually has booked future sessions, which is awesome. But a lot of the women that I have had worked with, they are moms. And so mm-hmm. business coaching, while it starts as business coaching, it's all encompassing. You can't mm-hmm. necessarily look at just one part of something. You have to look at all elements of somebody's life. And so with a couple of my clients, it transitioned into mom coaching, and I really enjoyed it. And I really looked forward to those sessions with people. And in the time that was happening is around the same time that I was starting Badass Moms Club, which I honestly started because I felt my own lack of support in my in-person network. Not that I mean I don't have support and help with Declan. I have so much support, but I had lack of support in where I felt comfortable being vulnerable and where what I was going through. And so I knew if I was feeling that way, that there had to be other moms or parents feeling that way. And so I started shifting the focus of my coaching.
It's like, it's bananas how alone you can feel as a mom. Mm-hmm. And okay. Yeah. So I want to talk about your most surprising part of motherhood. What has surprised you most about being a mom?
That is one of them. Yeah. I mean, that is one of them. Because you know, you're with this being all the time, but it is honestly the most isolating. And, mm-hmm. In my friend group in particular, I'm one of the only people with kids. One of my very good friends, she has three kids of her own, but she's busy in her own right, you know, and our kids are of different age and stuff. She is somebody who, if I am having a hard time and I need to talk to somebody in person and be vulnerable, she is the person that I go to and I can talk through things. But as far as like having just a real in-person network of we're in this together, we're all kind of going through the same things, it is not happening. And so and it's okay, and I'm okay with it, but I was really shocked by that isolation feeling. And so if I can do anything to help a mom not feel that way or feel a little less isolated, I want to be able to provide that, whether it's through Instagram or whether it's a mom that's here on Kauai that feels comfortable reaching out to say, hey, can we meet up for coffee? I just need to talk to somebody. I want to be that support, you know, and while yes, I do the coaching and that's part of my income, it doesn't have to be that way. You know, I want to just be support and a resource. Yeah.
Go down to the bar, have a Mai Tai and chat with Erin. Right. She'll listen.
Right.
Well,
oh gosh.
That'd be a good place to get clients, probably. Now that I'm thinking about it. Smart.
I get a lot of followers there.
Yeah.
No, it's so funny. I do get a lot of followers from there. My one friend Crystal, she's a another single mom. She is like one of my biggest cheerleaders for the page. And she's like, you gotta follow her. And then I always have stickers for Badass Moms Club in my baggage. She'll run up to the bar. Erin, you got a sticker. I got this great mom over here. And so we're always handing stickers out and stuff and bringing a smile to a mom's face and showing them little hacks with the to-go ramekins. Did you ever see that one, that hack that I did on the page? So if you're in a restaurant with a young one that's having a hard time, ask your server for a to-go ramekin and lid and a cup of ice, and then just put one or two ice cubes in there and you make it basically a restaurant rattle. And children are so fascinated by it because it's different than a rattle. It has a different sensation because of the temperature. It's cold and it makes a sound. And so
and then they can open it and touch the ice. I mean, there's all kinds of,
exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's a great idea. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
well, I'm going to ask you for another hack later. So don't spill all the beans.
Yet. Yeah.
That's a good one. Okay. All right. So you mentioned that you're a single mom and I don't want to make this all about that, but how did that unfold? Was that something that you kind of went into motherhood expecting, or how's it going for you?
No, and it's going great. So, it was an unexpected blessing of a pregnancy. The father and I had just met. He had just moved to the island. We were friends, a flirtatious friendship, had a great time a few times, but it turned out that on the very first time, the universe had a plan. Mm-hmm. And
who are you to deny the universe's plans?
Right, exactly. And so I am significantly older than the father as well. So there's a 14 year age gap between the two of us. And so I was 38 at the time when I was pregnant. I had never been pregnant before. I had a lot of issues with my cycle for many years. And it didn't seem that I would ever even be able to conceive. And the fact that I had never even been pregnant before at that age kind of seemed like that.
Surprising.
It was very surprising. Yeah. A mix of emotions when it happened, but to be very honest with you, mostly happy for me because I felt I always wanted to be a mom, you know. For him, it was super scary. And the very first words out of his mouth were, I can't be a dad. And then it became a very mixed, tumultuous period of time for the next, you know, for the whole pregnancy and then through like the first 6 months of my son's life. So he was around, you know, it seemed so like the words and the actions weren't really matching at first. So he was kind of living with me at the beginning of the pregnancy and it seemed like, okay, maybe are we trying to make this work? And then he freaked out. He said, I can't do this. I really can't do this. And so then we weren't together for the duration of the pregnancy, but he had said that he wanted to be involved, that he did want to co-parent and all of these things. And I was open to that. And, you know, whatever it was going to take, you know, have your own house, I'll have my own house. We'll figure it out. And there was just a lot of emotional manipulation that happened through the pregnancy is, I think, the most diplomatic way that I can say it. And so then Declan came along and he was living with us again. Things became romantic about a month after my son was born, which in hindsight, I'm not really sure how that happened because of all of the hurt that went on through the pregnancy. But I think that there's, you know, there's so much hormones and emotion after having a child and hope, you know? Yeah. And so we were together again. We tried for a few months. And at some point it shifted. It became very toxic and a lot of arguments. It just wasn't fun. It wasn't happy. It wasn't the energy I wanted to be around. And it certainly wasn't the energy I wanted my little tiny baby to be around, you know? So he said he was going to take a trip to see his mom. They had, he needed to make amends with her. Apparently they had a falling out before he had moved to the island. He said he was going to go see her for a month. And I was like, well, that's a long time to be away. I just went back to work after maternity leave. But if this is what you really need to do, then fine, do it. He picked this very explosive fight with me the night before he left. And then he got on the plane the next day. We drove him to the airport. And that's the last we've actually ever spoken.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So we've had a couple exchanges of text messages.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So
wait, how old is Declan?
Four.
Okay. So he's, Max is almost his age. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. So a couple of weeks into this trip, at first I was like, okay, we had this really terrible argument. Maybe he just really needed some space and some time and a little distance from it and everything. Mm-hmm. And then I wasn't hearing from him. We were on the same phone plan, so I had to do a little detective work. And I went and I like pulled up the call log and saw a number that he'd called a couple times. So I just text that number and I was like, this is, well, supposed to be his girlfriend and his child's mother. Mm-hmm. You know, have you heard from him? And through a few messages and a couple of days later, he finally texted me back and said he wasn't returning, that the fighting was too much. And that was it, essentially. And then I heard from him a couple months later where he was trying to like make amends via a text saying that he wanted to help. And I said, okay, great. You should have gotten a letter from child support. Please respond to them. If you didn't get it, here's their phone number. Mm-hmm. And just kind of like laid out, like, this is basically what it's costing a month for childcare, like food, all of these things. And there was no response. And then a week later, he sent another message asking for pictures and a video. And I basically responded, I said, when you can take parent responsibility, you can have parent privileges, mm-hmm. and reiterated the phone number for child support. And then I didn't hear from him for 2 years.
Holy shit. Pardon my French. I'm so sorry. You went through
that. It's okay. I sent a couple months after that. I sent him, and thanks to Cora again, because she had been coaching me through this whole time. She inspired me to write him a letter, and during one of our sessions, I left, I went home, I wrote it all out, put it in the mail, and I sent it to him. He's in his messages that he sent to me, 2 years later, he tried to twist that letter around and say that I said things in that letter that I didn't. But of course I kept copies of that letter.
That's smart.
Good of course I do. You know, so I always say to people, I may have been born at night, but I wasn't born last night. And mm-hmm. so I know that he needed to tell himself something to make mm-hmm. himself sleep better at night. He grew up without a father. And he has his own generational cycles that he needs to figure out if he could ever break them. And at this point, I don't think he can or knows how. He has so much healing he needs to do on his own. And if and when he can heal them and be a positive influence in my son's life, the door is always open. But at the last time that we did have contact, it was clear he's not in that place. The last time I had heard from him was about a year and a half ago. It was at Declan's, like right before Declan's third birthday. He randomly sent a text message And I, you know, I said, I would like to speak to you before you speak to him, because I had some things I wanted to make clear. I wasn't really sure about, do we introduce you as dad? You know, like, he's mm-hmm. still not even asked, do I have a dad? Mm-hmm. Still, you know, he's like almost 4 and a half now, and he still hasn't even asked that question.
Just used to the status quo, yeah.
Right. And so I, you know, wanted to talk to him about that, of like, do we just now introduce you as uncle until you can prove that you're actually going to be around consistently? I don't want to introduce you as this and then you're gone. You know, I wanted to have that kind of a conversation with him first. And then there was like a couple of scheduling conflicts that we had. Declan got sick, and I didn't want him around when we had the conversation in case it got heated and we were yelling at each other. And so on the final reschedule of the call, he texted me a few minutes before it was supposed to start saying he was going to be late for the call. And then it was like 45 minutes after the call was supposed to start, I sent a message, and I had blocked an hour for it before I needed to be somewhere. And I sent him a message, and I was like, you know, I only have this much more time left to be somewhere to, and he just went off and sent so many horrible messages and, threatening to take me to court. And I was like, that's fine. We can go back to court if that's what makes you comfortable. You can choose to do that, or you can choose to just reschedule this phone call with me. I'm just sharing with you, I have somewhere to be now. Right. And I said, I can talk to you either this day or this day. And he said, I'll let you know. And that's the last I ever heard from him. So it's like, yes, it's sorry you had to go through it, but I'm not, because I know that it's what's needed to happen to keep Declan in the happy, peaceful state that he is in. Mm-hmm. And again, should he ever heal whatever trauma he needs to heal and can be a positive, calm influence, it's okay.
Well, you know, it's like the door, there's a door. It's mm-hmm. closed. You're standing guard. You're willing to open it if he can come mm-hmm. and satisfy the criteria. You know what I mean? The
Absolutely.
Door doesn't have to be open for him to just walk in whenever yeah. he wants. Well, yeah. You should be proud of yourself. I'm proud of you.
Thanks. Thank you. Thanks so
That's
much.
A lot. And I was just about to talk about your badass mominations, and I feel like you deserve one. And so I might nominate you.
You're so
I'll
sweet.
I'll be like an
Thank
anonymous
you.
Little like, I know somebody named Erin Finnegan. And
oh my gosh, you're so sweet. So I love the mominations, and I hope that at some point, there's so many of them that I really have enough to be putting them out every day or at least once a week. You know, at this point, I only have enough to like sprinkle them through the month, I guess. But so mominations, they came to me in the story behind mominations are, I guess, about a year into my single mom life. My cousin and one of her childhood friends, actually, they both separately sent me cards. They didn't know that the other had done that. And it just basically was a card telling you, you're doing an amazing job. And we know how hard it is. They both have older kids and stuff, but it was just really out of the blue and so beautiful and so needed. And I don't remember a single word that they wrote in that card, but I remember how it made me feel on the days that I received them. And so when I was starting the Badass Moms page, I was thinking about how I would love to incorporate something like that in making somebody feel special, mm-hmm. unexpectedly special. And so I had the idea for mominations. Originally it started where people would send in, a DM to me, pictures and videos, and I was creating reels out of them because I was hoping that it would hit a broader audience and gain more traction that way. It didn't work. And so I stopped doing it. And then I wasn't, and it was also really time consuming. Right. And so it didn't make sense to do it that way. I put them on hold for a little while, but then I just relaunched them, I guess, like a month or so ago. Where it's now done as just a regular post, and it's easy to put out because I do believe in it. And I do believe that they'll start coming fast and furious at some yeah. point. And so that it'll be easier where I can just put them out.
Well, can anybody submit them? I mean,
anybody.
How do they do that? They just send you a DM?
Yeah, they send me a DM and they say, I want to mominate so-and-so. This person is a badass mom or dad. It doesn't have to necessarily be a mom, but a badass parent and why they're a badass to them. And just a couple of pictures. It can be just one picture if they only have one picture of them. And then they go on a list of what I have. And it's helpful to have their Instagram handle as well, yeah, so that I can tag the person so that the person sees it.
And I love it because it's a surprise. So I've seen you do it a few times, and the person who receives it, it's not only that they get this special post about them, but it's all these lovely things that people have said about them, which is really nice. And oh, it's just so heartwarming. Okay. So I went and did this career day thing, which was really bizarre because it was like the first time that I've been like, I am a social media influencer, which is bizarre to say as a 40-year-old woman who had no plans to do this sort of thing. And I'm not really like getting paid very much to do it at this point, just a little bit here and there, but I'm working on it. And the question that I got from most of the high schoolers was, what do you do when people say mean things to you, or like when people troll you, you know? And I said, well, luckily there have been a lot of people that have said nice things to me. And so I take screenshots and I have this nerdy little folder on my phone where I save all the screenshots of nice things. But to be honest, I don't even ever have to go look at it. Just knowing that it exists is kind of like this nice little like heartwarming fuzzy thingy there. So, and I used to do that with my students when I was a teacher. At the end of the year, I'd have them all write each other compliments and I had to proofread them to make sure there were no like backhanded compliments that were going out because they're young and sometimes they don't know what they're doing. But just having somebody say positive things like Cora did for you can make, can just really turn somebody's life around in ways that you might not even realize. So I think it's wonderful. And everybody should DM their mominations. It's at badassmoms.club, right? So, okay, yes. So make sure you send it there. And
you actually just said something that I want to touch on really fast about how the things we don't realize, like the things we're saying and the impact we don't realize that maybe it's having. And so this is totally not related to mominations, but it's in regarding to parenting.
Okay.
So, and I'm pretty sure you will appreciate this because of the style of parenting that you are so great for advocating for. So I am really vocal on apologizing to Declan if I mess up. Like, for example, I was very cranky 2 days ago and I was really short with him and I was just cranky. I was not in a good mood. And I had to drop him off to my friend to watch him before I was going to work. And I apologized to him about it. And I was like, you know, mommy's having a little bit of a tough morning. I'm a little overtired. I'm feeling really cranky. I'm very sorry for how I'm acting today. And he said, that's okay, mom. You know, I get cranky too. And then he gave me an example of why he gets cranky. And he said he gets frustrated when his toy isn't working right. And then he can be cranky and yell at me too. But we just need to take a deep breath sometimes.
Oh,
and
my gosh, what a little baby.
It was so beautiful and so validating for all of the work of making sure to be a conscious parent and to do that gentle parenting, you know?
Yeah.
And so anyway, you just said that and it made me think of that moment because it really, they are listening.
Yeah.
You know?
I love that. I love that so much. It's like you said, it's so validating when they do that, when they repeat it back to you and they can verbalize it. You're like, oh, you're paying attention. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Right. You know, it's so exciting. And
it was so great. You know, I couldn't believe when he gave a perfect example back to, and I was like, you're only four.
Yeah.
You know, it was awesome. I didn't want to go to work. I just wanted to like hang out with them
because I was so proud of
it. It was just like such a cool moment. But anyway, so for anybody who wonders if what they're doing is actually sticking, just you'll know it sticks.
Imagine when he's an adult and he's able to actually like talk to his partner or just his coworker or his friends about like how he's feeling. That's going to be so amazing. So
yeah, absolutely.
You're doing it. You're doing it.
Yeah.
That's really awesome.
Yep.
Okay. So you are the queen of mom hacks and just hacks in general.
Didn't expect that to happen.
She, I mean, and she's got them numbered. I don't know if the numbers are significant or you just like pick a number out of the air. What?
No, I've numbered them from when I, at some point I realized I should start numbering them for like a hook, you know, okay, it was like people should know that there's more than just this hack, you know?
Smart. Yeah. Yeah. Well, she's got a bunch. So go to her page, follow her. If you haven't decided to do that already, you should have really, but at this point you should, and then go find some of her hacks, but share one that you think most people have responded to, I guess, or something that you think is important. Yeah.
So I was actually really surprised at how widely shared the wine chilling one was. So I can tell you, we'll talk about that one and then the bubble one, those two recently, because it'll be like one for moms when they need to wind down and one for their kids. So if you need to chill, it can be any beverage. It doesn't have to be wine, but it's great for wine, water, champagne, beer, anything your kids drink. You take paper towels and you wet them down and you wrap it around the vessel, whatever, the bottle, two times, and put it in your freezer for 15 minutes and it's as cold as you need it to be. Mm. That one went off. I was shocked. And I was actually kind of like scrambling for what's my hack going to be this week, because the hacks have really become something that the page is known for, which I really didn't intend. I just kind of love hacks. I love being able to figure stuff out for myself. But now people who I know, they're like, so what's the hack going to be this week? Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, I really have to keep this going.
You're like, do you have one? Share one with me that I can share with people.
No, and I love actually when people send in hacks that actually posting one tomorrow that a fellow mom friend of ours, Bree from Full of Mom Sense, mm-hmm. had reminded me of. So we're doing a collaborative post tomorrow.
Exciting.
And yeah. And then another one that was really popular is for bubbles so that they don't spill is to duct tape the container of bubbles around a pole or something fixated so that the child doesn't keep spilling the bubbles over.
We have definitely done that at our house and it is so helpful. Especially if you have multiple kids and they're all dipping in the same one. Otherwise they're just fighting over it and the whole bottle spills and then you have to, you have nothing left to blow bubbles with.
I know. Cause I find it's really hard for me to make a bubble solution myself. I ended up buying a bottle of bubble concentrate, but to just make bubbles from like dish soap and water, I never make it right. It's never right. Yeah.
And even when you buy bubble solution, there's like one good brand. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but I found one at Target one time and I was like, this is the best one. I should remember this. And then I didn't write it down. So I'll never remember what it was.
We'll take a picture of it next time.
I will next time.
Yeah. Yeah. I have so many folders in my iPhone of things to remember. And I just take pictures of everything. And then I have different folders. Even like today when I was at the bank, I have a rent folder and it's got a screenshot of the guy's bank deposit, the number for his bank account. So I don't have to go searching through stuff.
I have those, but I just forget to put things in them. Like I'll take the picture and I'm like, yeah, I need to add that to the album. And I don't. That's an ADHD thing, I think. You get all the way to the last step and then you just don't do the last
step. And just stop. Yeah.
one day. Okay. Well, okay. Tell us all the places we can find you, what creative stuff you're doing these days.
So Instagram is the badassmoms.club. Twitter is Badass Moms Life. I could have looked them up because they're all different. I couldn't get the name on all of them. It's really kind of frustrating that I couldn't just have the same handle.
It is frustrating. That's Twitter. Mine's only Kind Minds _ because Kind Minds Smart Hearts is too long. So it's like.
Right. Yeah. So Twitter is Badass Mom Life. TikTok. I'm going to make TikTok noises now. TikTok is the Badass Mom Life. But if you just go to my Instagram, there's a link for my link tree and it takes you everywhere. My website is badassmoms.club, the same as the Instagram handle. You can find me at Tahiti Nui.
Yeah.
Bartending.
You should.
And then for anybody who is interested in coaching, I do offer the first 30-minute session free So if anybody wants to know more about how that works, they can book that through the website also. And that's really for us to meet each other to see if it's, you know, a good collaboration for coaching. And if it's not, I have several coaches that I recommend to people too.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So yeah. And so you can do those virtually. You don't have to be in.
Yep. Okay. Yeah.
And
yeah, I do all of, even if the people are here on island, I do them virtually. Okay, it's just cool. Easier that way.
And her shirts and stickers and totes and everything are so cute too. And they had a beach towel, I think, that was really cute.
Yeah.
So go check those out on her website. Because we all want to be part of a badass mom's club. Come on.
Right? Yeah. And the website right now, it says that it's those things. Some of those things are only available if you're on island. But if you see it because you've heard this podcast, send me a DM that's why. And I'll make sure that you can order it.
Oh, that's nice. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Okay. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. And don't forget to be kind to your minds and smart with your hearts. And if you have questions for me, don't forget to slide into my DMs or email me at Jackie@kindmindsmarthearts.com. And I will talk to you next week. Bye. The material presented on Kind Minds Smart Hearts podcast and the bonus episodes are not an attempt to practice medicine or give specific medical or mental health advice. The podcast was created to be entertaining and informative and contains examples from the host's lives and experiences, but does not attempt to cover every mental health issue. It should not replace consultation with your doctor or other qualified mental health specialists. If you believe you or another individual is suffering a mental health crisis or other medical emergency, contact your doctor immediately, seek medical attention immediately in an emergency room, or call 911. Thanks.